Hello and welcome to Chapter 8 of the BPO series. And in Chapter 8, we will talk about governance. So governance in outsourcing. What is governance in outsourcing? Governance is a term, an umbrella term used for monitoring the entire outsourcing contract, the agreement, and the framework. This is one way of ensuring that everything is happening as expected and identifying when things could go wrong or would have already gone wrong and what needs to be done. So this ensures that everybody is on the same page through various reports, dashboards, communication, and pre-decided meeting schedules. And the client could help the service provider. The service provider could communicate openly with the client and ensure that things are happening as expected. So governance helps in navigating complex waters throughout the outsourcing agreement. Governance plays a crucial role in navigating the complexities of outsourcing partnerships. So the crucial role in outsourcing partnerships is managing monitoring, and hence governance ensures the successful management and alignment of objectives between clients and service providers. So what needs to be understood here is that the entire agreement, the entire process needs to be process dependent and not people dependent. So throughout the tenure of the agreement, the key personnel may change because of change in job roles, because of attritions and job changes. But the agreement needs to be carried through even though people may change. So governance ensures that the entire activity remains process dependent, that there is a guideline for anybody who is responsible to refer to and ensure that activities are being carried on as documented and as per the frequency and the expected standards. So governance ensures successful management and alignment of objectives between the client and the service provider. So governance ensures that objectives are well defined, communicated, and continuously monitored as per agreed frequencies and timelines, keeping both parties on the same page. Hence, governance is integral in modern businesses, facilitating access to specialized expertise and enhancing the efficiency of the operations. So it allows organizations to tap into specialized expertise from external partners. Sometimes you have best practices that you rely upon. You have frameworks that you could implement within your entire organization framework. And it helps you reduce costs, especially unexpected costs because of scope delays or inefficiencies in the implementation, and enhance the efficiency of the entire outsourcing operations. So why governance is indispensable? Now, navigating outsourcing complexities, we've discussed the challenges and the risks of outsourcing. So navigating outsourcing complexities requires a robust governance framework that ensures alignment, risk mitigation, and performance measurement. So first is the alignment of objectives. The client and the service provider need to be aligned to the objectives of the entire agreement and the contract. So this ensures clear definition and continuous monitoring of shared goals. You have SLAs, you have KPIs, which we've discussed, and we will talk about it in a bit. Governance, the framework, keeps both client and service provider working towards common objectives. And hence, it establishes proactive risk management strategies and contingency plans. It's all about proactive. It doesn't have to be reactive. So once you have a framework, you've documented, the governance models ensures that the risk management is proactive in nature, and it provides a structured approach to identify, assess, and manage risks. So let's look at governance for excellence in outsourcing operations. To achieve outsourcing excellence, governance plays a pivotal role in resolving issues, maintaining transparency, and ensuring accountability. Because the entire activity is documented on how do you resolve disputes, how do you ensure communication happens, the frequency, and the formats. So performance measurement becomes critical, and it's aided by a good governance framework. The governance framework introduces tools and metrics for gauging outsourcing effectiveness. So it reads from the contract, the key SLAs, identifies KPIs, and sets the schedule and the formats for reporting the KPIs and the SLAs to the client. How frequently do you need to discuss those? What are the expected standards? So it evaluates service levels, quality, and customer satisfaction as agreed between both parties. Then it also helps in issue resolution. It provides channels for identification and resolution of roadblocks and disputes, how to discuss, who will be part of the discussion at each stage, depending upon the severity and the category of the dispute. Sometimes it will be financial, sometimes it could be legal, sometimes it could be tactical and operational, sometimes it could be HR related. So all these are governed as per written in the governance framework. It establishes clear escalation paths and dispute resolution procedures. Sometimes the mid-level or the junior management could not address issues and disputes. So how do they escalate it, both at the client side and the service provider side? Then communication and transparency. It promotes structured and transparent communication channels because it outlines regular review meetings, reporting mechanisms, the formats, and the communication protocols. So how often do you meet at each level? Once in a month, once in a quarter, once in a week, the access to information and the reporting formats. And it also assigns accountability because it defines roles and responsibilities for everybody involved in the outsourcing engagement. So governance becomes the guardian of the entire outsourcing agreement. Governance is outsourcing acts as the guardian of the partnership's success. So everybody has a blueprint, a guideline to refer to on how to go about implementing what's been agreed upon in the contract. It provides a structured framework that identifies potential pitfalls and offers strategic solutions to overcome them. First, it'll establish clear objectives for the agreement, for each activity, and for each job role as well. How to manage risks, you'll have a risk matrix as we had discussed. How to measure performance, how often to measure performance, how to collect data, how to report, what will be the formats, and how to resolve issues if and when there is any. How to promote transparency and how to foster accountability. So governance sets the stage for outsourcing engagements that are not just cost effective, but also value driven and sustainable. So it decides how to carry out every activity, how to measure what's written in the contract, how to communicate, and if something is not as per the plan, how to discuss, communicate, and address those disputes and issues. Let's look at the importance of performance measurement and governance. Now, measure it to manage it is a clear adage in management that you only improve what you measure. You only manage what you measure. So measuring KPIs becomes important, and governance sets the parameters, the formats on how you measure critical metrics, the KPIs and the SLAs. So three ingredients of strong governance: setting the right expectations, managing issues, and communicating effectively. Governance supported by performance measurement tools is like the performance scorecard. So performance scorecards are defined during the contract signing stage when the pilot is being implemented. Then what are the KPIs for each outcome? How do you measure those? The operational definition, the data source, the format, the units, and the expected benchmarks. So measure performance against objectives, including service level, value, quality, and customer satisfaction. These are different categories of KPIs. There could be more depending upon the kind of process being outsourced. Then it provides a balanced view of the total relationship health, tracking performance against preset levels regularly. Communication and governance structure. Now, communication plays a crucial role in governance, establishing a structured method and minimizing gaps. When there's a communication breakdown, that is when gaps happen. So when the leadership does not interact frequently, then you will have a communication gap. Information is not being withheld, but information is not being shared openly. And that is when risks increase. So governance model determines how frequently different levels need to interact with each other and what is that needs to be discussed during these meetings, including the formats and the scorecards and the benchmarks. So reference governance model with a defined structure and different forums specific to each area. Now, steering committee meetings may happen monthly, may happen quarterly. This depends upon the importance of the process, the strategic importance of the process, but it could be it could happen monthly in most cases. In some cases, it also happens quarterly. So approve decisions and provides guidance on financial control, SLAs, and continuous improvement. This also has predefined report formats and dashboards, which everybody could go through. Then you also have program status meeting. These are more tactical, hence this may happen weekly or bi-weekly, where you discuss the program activities, which cover project management, resource quality, schedule, risks, and budgets. Then you have technical meetings. This could happen daily or maybe as and when required, which address technical issues and decisions and can be held separately or within the weekly program meeting. And then you also have regional meetings, which are held weekly or fortnightly, could even be monthly, for discussions with regional managers on deliverables, addressing communication challenges. So the governance structure decides different level of meetings involving different teams with frequencies to discuss different issues and challenges. Let's look at the governance model in action. The governance model ensures effective decision making through various forums. The most important reason being that it brings people together. It has set guidelines on when to meet and what to be discussed. So everybody is prepared. Information is being shared periodically as per the assigned frequencies. So there is no communication gap. Steering committee meetings, which is monthly, are apex body meetings covering financial controls, SLAs. Program status meetings, as we discussed, are weekly or bi-weekly, which discuss the program activities. And then you have technical meetings, which address technical issues like network failures and downtimes. And then you have regional meetings, which may be weekly or fortnightly. The cadence of a meeting helps establish a strong platform for a mutually beneficial relationship. Where information is shared, it's transparent, it's open. Both parties can mutually discuss the challenges, the risks, and decide on the corrective and preventive actions and make changes as and when required. So this is a graphical representation of the governance model, the different category meetings which we discussed, right from technical meetings to the steering committee meetings. Now let's look at metrics in outsourcing. Now outsourcing is where a client is outsourcing a business process to a third party in a remote location. So from, let's say, USA to India or from UK to the Philippines. So it's a remote location, it's a faraway location. So how do you ensure that it's performing and delivering as expected? So you need to assign certain measurable attributes to ensure that you measure the success or the failure of operations. And that's where metrics come into picture. Metrics are measures of results or outputs. So they play a pivotal role in not only in outsourcing any business operations, as they provide quantified accuracy and reflect the situations more accurately. You may say that, okay, we are doing a good job, but good job is subjective. What's good for one person or one organization is not good enough for another person or another organization. You may say clients are satisfied, but how do you quantify that satisfaction? So to remove ambiguity, it's important that you assign quantifiable metrics to these attributes. So satisfied is measured in terms of satisfaction score or satisfaction percentage. Good is measured in terms of the accuracy. So you decide metrics to measure these expected attributes. So it could either be quantity metrics, quality metrics, time metrics, money, or satisfaction. You assign these KPIs, and depending on your past performance or depending upon industry benchmarks, you assign certain standards. Now, okay, if it is customer satisfaction, for example, it should be 80%. For some, it could be 92%. Depends upon the past experience, the past track record, or the industry benchmarks. If it is time, for example, on-time delivery, for some could be 2 days, for some could be 14 days, depending upon the product category, the service category. So you decide the metrics and you set the benchmarks which the service provider is expected to meet, and it is agreed upon by both the parties. Then once you report the actual performance, you're able to measure the trend, you're able to measure the actual versus expected, and then you know whether the provider or the vendor is delivering as expected or not, and if not, then what is the control plan. So having metrics defined for the program prior to engagement and including them in the RFP ensures clarity and expectations. Let's look at the type of performance metrics. Now, performance metrics in outsourcing are essential for evaluating the effectiveness of engagements. So as I said, how good is good, or how satisfied is satisfied, you need to assign a number to it. So you have service level metrics. These focus on the SLA outline specific, like response times and uptime statistics. Then you have quality metrics. These assess service or deliverables based on error rates or customer satisfaction or compliance scores. Then you have financial metrics, which evaluate the cost effectiveness, the cost per transaction, or the return on investment, the ROI. Then you have operational metrics, which gauge efficiency in processes like the completion time, the utilization of resources, or the on-time completion, on-time delivery. And then you have customer experience metrics like the end user satisfaction scores, NPS, or the net promoter score, another measure of customer satisfaction, and the average response time. So how quickly are you responding to a customer query or a customer email? So different measurements which you use to measure KPIs and gauge the performance standards of the service provider. Let's look at some considerations for metric selection. Now, selecting metrics require careful consideration to ensure they maintain service performance. Now, the best part is, since outsourcing is a mature industry, you already have benchmarks, standards, which are predefined. So there are standards which are already available, which the client and service provider can jointly refer to, which mentions the metrics for different kinds of processes. And then in addition to those, you could add some of your own client-specific metrics, which you've been measuring in-house and which you want to add to the industry acceptable standards. So again, these are already available that, okay, if you're outsourcing software development, what are the 5, 6, 7, 8 metrics that you should measure? So you could add some, you could include some, you could exclude some, and both parties could discuss together. So you choose measurements that motivate the right behavior. So metrics should have the desired behavior from both client and service provider perspectives. So you need to have metrics that complement each other. For example, let's say you talk about form filling as a process. So a home loan forms, a bank outsources filling of home loan forms, hard copy forms being transferred into soft copy forms. Now, if you only measure speed as a metric, if you say the speed of form processing is a metric on which you judge the service provider, but if you miss out on measuring accuracy, then the service provider, in order to speed up the transactions, may make more errors because you're not measuring accuracy as a metric. And if accuracy was the only metric, then they would take as long as they want and double check and triple check each entry to ensure that they have the highest possible accuracy. But what you need is a balance of both accuracy and time to reach an optimal performance, so that you get accuracy, but you get that at a desired cost. So you need to choose measurements that motivates the right behavior, and hence you need to have a combination of KPIs. So ensure metrics reflect factors within the service provider's control, not something which is driven by external controls. So don't penalize for issues beyond the provider's control. Choose measurements that are easily collected. Data should be easily collected, or else it's not reported and you will not be able to gauge the performance. Less is more. Don't try to make a laundry list of metrics. choose what is critical, and others could be audited, but don't report too many metrics so that the entire monitoring and measurement process gets diluted. What are some benefits and challenges of using metrics and outsourcing? Now, metrics offer substantial benefits, but come with implementation challenges. First, let's look at the benefits. First, it focuses on critical deliverables. It quantifies the deliverables. Like how good is good? We are able to quantify that good. How bad is bad? We are able to quantify that bad. So discussions become more objective and everybody is on the same page. It's easy to correlate reporting. So number-driven reporting, as I said, it's easier to convey to each other like how bad it was or how good it was, because otherwise it's difficult to two people to agree if the numbers were only qualitative. If you quantify them, then everybody could agree upon that because you've set benchmarks. For example, if you say that, okay, the average time to fill a form should be 3 minutes, then everybody knows that 3 minutes is the benchmark. But if you only say that you need to fill up forms fast, so for somebody 3 minutes could be fast, for somebody 5 minutes could be fast, for somebody 1 minute could be fast. So it's difficult to then have everybody on the same page. Hence, you need to quantify that using metrics. And then it also helps in standardized assessment. Metrics standardize reporting, and hence it avoids confusion. Again, my good can be different from your good, your bad can be different from my bad. Once we assign a numerical value to it, then both of us are on the same page. It also helps in prioritization of deliverables. Metrics define important tasks and expected performance levels. For example, we know that the form filling in the previous example needs to be 3 minutes. So whether I agree to it being fast or not, we know that 3 minutes is the expected performance level. It should not be more than that. If it is more than that, we need to understand why is it so and take corrective actions. Then support for continuous improvement. Metrics enable transparency, aiding enhancements over time, and it ensures outsourcing goals are met. Until unless you have quantified metrics, you don't know whether results are being delivered or not. But let's look at the challenges. First, defining relevant metrics may be a challenge. So there are so many metrics available. Even if you refer external standards, there are two metrics. How do you choose metrics that are aligned with business objectives and that are critical at that particular phase of your outsourcing? That may take time. You may need experts to be brought in to guide you and choose the right metrics that will aid the right behavior in the service provider. Then data availability and accuracy may be a challenge. Sometimes the data source may be a challenge. So gathering may take a lot of time, a lot of resources and investment at times. Data security and privacy could be another concern. Resistance to change is also there. That's more of a people issue, but you need to ensure that people are trained and awareness programs are conducted. And then there is complexity in multi-vendor environments. So if you have multiple vendors working on the same process, for example, a customer care help desk across two different vendors, then integrating metrics across multiple vendors could be another challenge. Then you may also have benchmarking difficulties. So comparing metrics with industry benchmarks. Sometimes you may not have readily available benchmarks for your industry, for your niche. And if you try to benchmark it with some other industry, for example, the average form filling time for an insurance claim to average form filling time to a home loan form could be very different. So benchmarking difficulties might be there. This is a very simple example, but it may be very complex in some cases. And then also balancing quantity and quality. So achieving equilibrium is also important. For example, accuracy and speed. So how do you achieve the optimum balance that you ensure that your objectives are being met? That may take some trial and error, and hence it may take longer than desired. And then continuous monitoring and improvement may also be a challenge if the communication framework is not rigorous and if the service provider is not committed enough to quality. So let's look at service level agreements, which lists down all these metrics, KPIs, and the governance framework. So a service level agreement is a crucial element in outsourcing agreements, serving as a comprehensive framework for evaluating a supplier's performance. So service level agreement lists down all the activities, tasks that a service provider has to perform, the expected outcomes, and it also includes KPIs, which sets benchmarks for those outcomes. So it outlines the functions, services, and standards a service provider must meet. It defines boundaries and expectations for both parties. So critical for outsourcing success, because if it's not defined, you won't be able to measure success. You won't know how good is good and how bad is bad. So what are some best practices for drafting effective SLAs? Now, effectively drafted SLAs align with overarching business objectives, ensuring their relevance and contribution to organizational goals. They need to contribute to the organizational goals. Sometimes you may add in some irrelevant activities or KPIs which do not have a direct or indirect relationship with your organization goals. So they may just be time and resource consuming, but they may not positively contribute to your objective of outsourcing a business function. So SLAs need to be aligned with business objectives, and they need to involve key stakeholders. So you need to engage relevant stakeholders from both sides to ensure realistic and achievable SLAs, or else your objective will be defeated. You need to set realistic performance targets. For example, if before outsourcing, your in-house customer satisfaction scores were 60%, but you know that the best peers in the industry are performing at 85%, you can't expect the vendor to start performing at 85%, because for the vendor, 85% is not a benchmark. For the vendor, 60% is the benchmark, because you were performing at 60%. So you need to set realistic performance targets and then look at improving over time. So measure what matters, prioritize metrics, don't measure unnecessary metrics that do not align with your business objectives. Include flexibility and review mechanisms. Build flexibility for changes and establish regular reviews to align SLAs with evolving objectives. And then have a fair penalty and reward system. If you have a penalty system, you also need to have a reward system. So you need to reward the provider for good performance. If you penalize them for bad performance, both need to go hand in hand. Clearly define roles and responsibilities. So the easiest format is who does what by when. Clearly define it, the frequency, the responsibility, and the how. Then implement monitoring and reporting, right? From the formats to the frequency, the data collection practices. So established a robust monitoring system with the right formatting, the right unit measurement, and the know-how on how to collect and format the data. And then look at continuous improvement. There's no point measuring, reporting, monitoring if you don't put in efforts to continuously improve upon a particular KPI. Mm-hmm.